This is the word of the Lord found in Psalm 142. Just the first three verses. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 3. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. We don't know the circumstances of all the Psalms. There were many different writers of the Psalms. Some were written by Asaph. Some were written by, at least one was written by Heman, another by Jeduthun. Several different authors. We know that the real author of all the Psalms is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that wrote them, but different men penned them down. But some we do know were written by David, and we even know the circumstance that David wrote them in. And this is one of those. Some of you may have a Bible where the note is given right under the psalm heading. And this one says, a maschil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And I think most of you remember David's life and its history. But this was after David had fought Goliath and defeated him. And so he was a great hero in Israel. And with time, King Saul grew jealous of him. So he appointed him as a captain over 1,000. A fairly responsible position for such a young man to have command over 1,000 soldiers, so that David might die in battle. And yet David behaved himself wisely, and he turned out to be a gifted commander who was faithful and went in and out before the people, and they loved him. And so Saul grew more jealous. Then Saul thought he would entrap David in order to get him killed by saying, my younger daughter wants to marry you, but you don't have to bring me a dowry. All you need to do is bring me evidence you've killed 100 Philistines. Well, David went out and killed 200 Philistines, brought the evidence to Saul, and so he became Saul's son-in-law, and Saul's daughter loved him, and Saul became even more jealous. And it got to the point where Saul's jealousy couldn't be hidden anymore. He actually sent assassins to David's house, and David's wife there puts a bolster under the covers to look like somebody was there. And so while the assassins came up thinking he was in bed, David escaped out of the house and went into hiding. Saul sent the assassins after David, and Saul himself even came. But David was near the prophet Samuel. And every time assassins would come, they would fall down and be unable to carry out their mission of assassination, including Saul himself. Later on, David checked with Jonathan. Jonathan couldn't believe that there was an assassination effort. And David said, well, let's run a test. You go to this Feast of the New Moon, and normally I should be there at the feast, but I'm going to be hiding. And you tell your dad that I went to keep the feast with my family so that I didn't show up at his court to do that. And if he takes the news well, then maybe you're right. Maybe this is something I'm mistaken. But if he blows up, then you be assured that he is out to kill me. And so that happened. Jonathan went to the feast, and David wasn't there. First day of the feast, Saul was looking, thinking, well, maybe he's unclean, not ready for a feast unto the Lord, so he's not here. But the second day, couldn't restrain anymore, and he asked Jonathan, and he said, why is the son of Jesse, that is David, why is the son of Jesse not here? And Jonathan said, he asked me for leave so he could go down and keep this feast with his family. And Saul blew up. He said, "Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman," talking about Jonathan's mother, his wife, "don't you know that as long as the son of Jesse is alive upon the earth, your kingdom won't be established?" And Jonathan was shocked and ashamed and angry, and Saul was so mad he picked up a javelin and threw it at his own son, which he dodged. But Jonathan went out angry, as you can understand. He loved his dad, loved his own family, but he loved David, recognized a servant of the Lord, a fellow servant of the Lord. And Jonathan went out, and he and David had agreed on a way to get this information across to David without anybody else knowing, because Saul may have had spies there to follow Jonathan. So they couldn't really have a safe meeting together for Jonathan to say, "Yes, assassins are after you, run, David." So they had agreed upon a symbol, and what it was is David was in hiding in a certain field, and Jonathan was supposed to go out and shoot some arrows. And he had a young boy with him to recover the arrows, and if he were to say, when the boy went out to recover him, if he said, "You know, you've gone too far, the arrows are back toward me," then that meant all was safe. If Jonathan said, "The arrows are further away than you've gone, they're out beyond you," that means David needed to run. There was an ongoing assassination plot. And that's what Jonathan did. He shot the arrows, and the little boy went out in the field to recover them. And Jonathan said, "The arrows are past you. They're beyond you." And the little boy went and recovered the arrows, brought them back to Jonathan. And Jonathan gave his bow and arrows and said to the boy, "Take these back." The boy went. There was nobody else in the field. David came out of hiding. He and Jonathan embraced to say goodbye. And David went on the run. He didn't have food. He didn't have weapons. He stopped by the tabernacle and asked the high priest to give him some food. And the high priest had the showbread that hadn't been eaten there from the tabernacle. He gave that to David. He says, "The only weapon we've got, the only sword I've got, is the sword of Goliath, whom you slew." And David said, "Give that to me. There's none like it." So David ended up with the showbread and the sword of Goliath, and he went on the run. He ran out of the country of Israel into the land of the Philistines. And he got to the land of the Philistines thinking he had escaped, and lo and behold, the Philistines recognized him. "Is not this the guy that slew Goliath? Is this not David?" So David knew he was recognized, and he wasn't safe in the land of the Philistines. And to get out safely, he had to pretend to be crazy. And he would let his spit run down in his beard, and he would scratch on the door posts and things like that. And finally, the king of the Philistines said, "Get him out of here. He's lost it." And so they let him go, and he fled back into Israel, and he went into hiding in a cave, the cave of Adullam. And that's what the title of this psalm says, "Maschil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave." Can you imagine how David felt at that time? He's on the run for his life. The whole government of his country, except for a few friends like Jonathan, is out to kill him. Can't run to the Philistines. They recognize him. Doesn't want to put his own family, his dad and mom, in trouble by heading to their place. Don't know what's going to happen to his new wife. She's the daughter of the king that's trying to kill him. And there he is back, and he's in Israel, and he's hiding in a cave. Can you imagine how overwhelmed he must have felt? There's many places in the Bible that you can imagine that people are overwhelmed. David wrote about it in other Psalms. Psalm 57 starts off that way. It says, "Be merciful unto me." Well, actually, this says, "To the chief musician, Altachif, Mishtam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave." Here he is again. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast." So he feels like calamities are just washing over him. And in Psalm 142, he says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, Then thou knewest my path. There was times when David felt overwhelmed. And I think you'll find this with many of God's servants in the Bible. Don't you imagine Abraham must have felt overwhelmed when he was managing these flocks and herds, and now he had to not only Ishmael and had to send him away with Hagar, but he had Isaac, and the Lord said, take Isaac, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him on a mountain which I shall show thee of. What an overwhelming task to have before. Don't you know Job must have felt overwhelmed when he was there and the servants just kept coming and said, enemies came and they killed all your camels, Job. And the servants too, and I only am escaped. Other enemies came, they took all your sheep and they killed the servants. I'm the only one left to come tell you. And then here comes the servant and said, a great wind blew down the house where your children were. And they're gone, and I alone am escaped to tell you. And then Job's health was smitten so that he was covered with sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, thinking, how am I gonna work? How am I gonna feed my wife and I? How are we gonna deal with this grief? How am I gonna do without the livestock I had? The servants I've lost, the health I don't have, how am I going to deal with this? Think of Moses when he came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, as you've just heard. And the people there murmured for bread, and then they murmured for water. And then they got to the Mount Sinai and he went up to receive God's law and came down and they were worshiping a golden calf. Later on, after God had dealt with that and they had moved on from Mount Sinai and God was leading them, they'd built the tabernacle, there was a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, they began complaining about the bread that fell from heaven, about the manna, and they missed Egypt because they missed the food that they used to eat. Poor Moses, he was so overwhelmed, he prayed that God would let him die so that he would not see his own wretchedness. And so there's times that a child of God who is trying to serve God may well feel overwhelmed. And that's what David wrote about. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. Notice, he prayed. And he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Most of my prayers are silent. They're just within my mind. I'm trying to reach out to God. And I try to pray to him that way. But sometimes I feel the need to pray out loud. Not only when I'm in a church meeting, but sometimes when, especially when I don't feel like there's anyone around to hear, to pray out loud to God. And I think it's a good thing to do occasionally. Use not only your heart and mind, but use your voice, because that's a gift from God too, to cry out unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you from time to time, not all times, in fact, I hope you do a lot more prayer than what's spoken, but from time to time to actually call out to the Lord with your voice. And if you have the opportunity, think to use and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the name which is above every name that God has given us at this time. Simon Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So there is something that Peter preached. Paul wrote something very similar, and it's scripture that I try to quote out a lot, but listen to how this section of scripture concludes. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sometimes when you're praying out loud, actually say the words, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you something, the enemy, the prince of this world, he does not like that name. This is the name of the God who made the universe but became a man born of a virgin named Jesus. And because he successfully completed his work on the cross, he is risen again from the dead as a man. And he is both Christ, that is the anointed Redeemer, and Lord. That means he rules. He sits upon the throne. And the enemy doesn't like that. And, you know, Satan doesn't know what I'm thinking. He can't read my mind. He can put thoughts in my mind. He does it too often. He can't read my mind. Can't read your mind. He may put thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. But I'll tell you what, he can hear. And if you're calling out loud the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not like it. He doesn't like it. Sometimes I find that very helpful. If I'm one of those occasions when I wake up at night, doesn't happen often, but it does happen from time to time, and I wake up and I feel so insufficient, so ashamed of the good things I have not done, so guilty over the bad things in my life I have done, just feel so not as I should be. Hunger and thirst after God's righteousness because mine is as filthy rags. And I wake up feeling that way and I feel the darkness start to overwhelm me. How it helps to call out. Maybe it's even a whisper so I don't wake somebody up. Lord Jesus Christ, help me. And how good he is to help me. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Supplication is begging. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Preached this before, but let me preach it again. Sometimes we need to complain. Do it in the right way, in the right place. If I complain to you, all I've done is weighed you down a little more and made things a little darker. And if you're somebody that can help, well, maybe I should do that. You know, that's what I go to the doctor for. Doctor, I got a complaint here. You know, I got a real backache today. Is there anything you can do about it? But if I'm complaining to somebody else, I've got this backache, I'm really just kind of adding to their woes for somebody who can't help. So the rule here that I want to give you is complain to somebody that you think is able to help. You know, you complain to a dentist about a toothache. You can complain to a doctor about a backache. You can complain to a lawyer about a legal problem. You can complain to a teacher about an area of ignorance that you think that they're able to help. Complain to somebody who can help, and there is someone who can help in all matters. Pour out your complaint reverently unto God because he's able to help. He's big enough to handle your complaints. He's big enough to help with the problem. And that's what David said he did. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. David was in the cave. He was overwhelmed. It was a great overwhelming. But let me tell you, no man, whether we're talking about Abraham or talking about Job or talking about Moses or talking about David or talking about Paul, who said the care of all the churches came on him, whether we're talking about any of those men, no man has ever faced the overwhelming darkness and trouble that was faced by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he went to the cross and was there nailed to that cross, and God's wrath was poured out on him, every sin that I've ever committed, every trouble I've ever faced, he was bearing that sin on the cross. And yours, and yours, and people that we've never met, and some people nearby that we have met, every single solitary child of God, Jesus Christ was bearing every single solitary sin that they ever had or ever would commit, and he was made to be that sin so that God's justice would be poured out upon him and satisfied. Can you imagine that overwhelming? Can you imagine that sea of iniquity? Can you imagine that ocean of wickedness that he was made to be? It goes beyond telling. But he knows what it is to be overwhelmed. So when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. He knows what you're going through. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This verse makes me think of something. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You ever been stuck in traffic? It's so frustrating. And you're just moving along. You know, you're creeping along bumper to bumper. Maybe you get up to 5 miles an hour. And you don't know, when is this ending? Now, it used to be you wouldn't know when it ended until you got to the end of it. Well, now, how handy it is. You can pull out a map program, and there are these satellites in low Earth orbit, and they're picking up the speed of vehicles on the ground, and they can see where the traffic is lined up, and they can recommend an alternate course for you to get off at this particular turn or this particular exit, and you may have to drive a little further than you intended, but you'll get there quicker than you are on your current course. But I find that as helpful as those programs are, sometimes they are dead wrong. There was a time Sandy and I were trying to get to a particular church, and the map program told us to do this, and we made the final turn to where it said the church was, and we were in the middle of a cow pasture. There was nothing. There was not even a building nearby. I don't know why in the world. And so I got out with my phone, kind of looking around, and a FedEx driver, young black gentleman, was driving a FedEx truck. And he stopped. And he said, "Are you folks lost?" It's just kindness. It's kind of like one of these angels, you know. And he said, "Yeah, we're looking for such and such a Primitive Baptist church." And you know, as a driver, he had a good bit of knowledge in his biological computer. And he said, you turned off the highway the wrong direction. You go back here so many miles, you'll see it there on your left. And sure enough, we got there. So those map programs help a lot. You know why? Because they have a view from above. They're looking down on the Earth from low Earth orbit, and they can give you some information that you wouldn't otherwise have. So when the traffic is overwhelming, you've got some additional information that might help. Let me tell you, none of those satellites and none of those programs is good as your Heavenly Father, who is far higher than any low Earth orbit. He is holding all the stars and planets and galaxies of the universe in his mighty power. And he is able to look down on your overwhelming situation, and he knows your path, he knows the way that you've gone, and he knows the way that you should go. And so when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Not only does he know our path and what it has been and where it has taken us to this point, he knows the path ahead of us and what we ought to take. Isn't that comforting? and say, I sure wish he would make it plainer to me. He sometimes makes it plain for a while in advance, and sometimes he just makes it plain for one step at a time. And sometimes his instruction is, be still and see my salvation. Sometimes his instruction is, wait on the Lord. Sometimes his instruction is, you take this step, you read this chapter, you make this prayer, you forgive this brother, you go to this brother or sister and ask forgiveness, you sing this song. Sometimes it's just a step ahead. And then sometimes he may give it to you for a while to come. You know, he gave Moses some instruction. After the unbelief of this people, 40 years later, you're coming back to the land of Canaan and going in as I commanded you the first time. But when your spirit is overwhelmed within you, and lately I've kind of felt this, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, notice that's past tense, in the way wherein I walked, have they privily or privately laid a snare for me. Lord, I've been on some paths where enemies secretly set traps for me. The Lord knows. He knows that you've avoided some of them. He knows that you've fallen into others, and he has helped you out. He knows that you have fallen into some others, and you're still in them trying to get out. In the way where you walked, enemies have privately laid snares for you. He knows that. And he knows where you are now, whether you have escaped snares of the past or whether you're still in one of them now. And yet, he knows your path ahead as well. What's the benefit of that? Well, for one thing, it is a parent that's better than any earthly father or mother that you've ever had, that knows completely what your situation is, what you should do about it, how much he loves you, how that his love is never going to end, how much he cherishes you in spite of the failures and faults and shortcomings that you have. He loves you that way. And so when your spirit is overwhelmed within you, he's not overwhelmed. When your spirit is overwhelmed within you, he knows your path. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. It's comforting to pull out our map program to say, oh, where should I go next? But sometimes they are wrong. In fact, I ran into a confusing one just yesterday trying to make a certain turn. But the Lord, he knows your path perfectly, absolutely, without fail. Why not go to him? Cry unto him with your voice. Use his name, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go to the Lord and call on his name with your voice. Pour out your complaint before him. And no matter how overwhelmed you are, say, Lord, you know my path. Show me the next step. Let me get out of this trap. Show me what I should do next. And bring glory to your name and to the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Oh, Father, sometimes we do feel so overwhelmed. But we realize that you have straight gate and narrow path before us. And we pray that, Lord, we would enter that gate and that we would walk in that path and that we would find the abundant life that you have in that way. Dear Father, forgive us for times that we've stepped in the traps of the enemies. Please, oh God, help us to exit and to walk freely in a way that would glorify your name. Father, we beg that you would help these that have been named in prayer, that you would give healing, that you would give comfort. Oh God, please comfort those that are grieving. Please, Lord, we ask for those that have medical procedures coming up, that they would be successful and relieve the conditions, Lord, and give that healing and strength. And we beg, oh God, that you would bless those that are confused in darkness, in guilt, in sorrow, in grief. Oh God, please be with them as the Spirit, the Comforter, oh God. Thank you, dear Father, for food we have, for clothes we wear, for shelter over our heads, for the hope of life everlasting in the presence of our Savior. Help us to love one another, oh God, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and love you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. Please, Lord, as we pray often, revive us, stir us up, send laborers into your harvest, open doors for the spread of the gospel. Lord God, let your churches prosper, not to their glory, but to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom of the bride, the Savior of his people. Hear us, O God, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.